Good morning. This morning I'd like to present research conducted by myself and co-researcher Dr. Rita Aris from Southern Illinois University Edwardsville School of Nursing, who's also here this morning, that explored the issue of health disparities being experienced by minority men in St. Clair County, Illinois. This is one of two major counties directly across the river from St. Louis, Missouri. And in view of the fact that African Americans comprise approximately 30% of the 250,000 people in St. Clair County, this is a significant percent of the county's population that is not receiving adequate health care services. This research was conducted in conjunction with a community-based participatory research network that we helped form that included the county's three major health care service providers in an attempt to improve the health status of the population through policy changes and more effective service delivery throughout the county. Like Justine's research, this research was also, even though it was mixed methods, was primarily qualitative. And men's health, we know, is a brewing crisis today. There's 5.5 years less life expectancy for men in general. There's higher rates of all leading causes of death. Men have a tendency to be heavier drinkers. They smoke more. They're more likely to be overweight. The delay seeking health care, and they have lack of accessible health care, and this is according to the Kellogg Foundation report in 2004. And when compared to women, men are less likely to report a regular health care provider, they use fewer health care services, they receive fewer preventive services, they're more likely to receive treatment-oriented services, and they also report less satisfactory communication with their healthcare providers if they do have one, and they're less likely to receive treatment for mental illness. The disparities in St. Clair County, Illinois, are some of the most severe in the state of Illinois. We're second only to the Chicago area, Cook County, as far as disparities there. Disparities, rates for minority men in St. Clair County, compared to the same age group of all adults, you can see AIDS is just off the charts, 332% higher for minority men in St. Clair County. Strokes are 128% higher. Liver disease, 122% higher. Motor vehicle crashes, 155% higher. Homicides, 461% higher. And this is just a staggering set of statistics. The purpose of the research was to explore the interrelated issues of availability, accessibility, and acceptability of healthcare services in the county, and the health issues for minority men as they relayed them to us. The informants in this research project were 5 administrators. We interviewed 9 frontline service providers. We interviewed 9 men in need of healthcare services. And then we also had dialogue through a number of meetings, focus groups, and individual research questions to our community-based participatory research network colleagues. Some of the interview questions that we used, we had 8 open-ended questions primarily. What are the most important health issues for men in St. Clair County, specifically minority men? Do men and women have similar issues? Do they have similar health care issues? What health services are available to the men, and throughout the county? How are the health services distributed? How can these health care disparities be addressed? Would men use these services even if they were being provided? So we're getting into the behavioral aspects and perspectives of the men we interviewed. And would peer group interaction or family settings be more effective for these men? This was an issue that was brought up by our colleagues from the service providers, because out of the 3 providers, we had some differences in how they thought we should go about working with these men and providing services to these men. The main barriers that we found to men's health are barriers that you would find in many areas throughout the country, if not all. There's always a case of lack of resources, not only with these men minority, but the level of poverty in the county among minorities is huge. So there's financial issues, and there was also programmatic issues as far as resources for men. We had a lack of concern or focus from not only the men, but the service providers. There was enormous amounts of systemic indifference to the needs of men's health care and interpersonal issues and also socialization. So as you can see, we felt that within this grouping that we had major issues that need to be addressed equally among the three areas. As far as lack of resources, most public funded health initiatives exclude men. We all know that there's a multiple array of services for women, especially women and children through county health service agencies and other agencies. All kids in our state has been a start because our governor's expanded it. We're going to try to get past legislation that will be all families, that would not only include the children, but would include the parents as well. Obviously, if the parents are modeling good health behaviors, that will translate down into the children, and that is part of another ongoing research project that we have. It's impossible to get services for men. We heard this across the board. One of the providers says we have nothing to offer these men, absolutely nothing. So when the men come in, even looking for services, there's no service that they can provide. Another provider said we have little to offer them that's categorical. So only if they are disabled or they have prostate cancer would there be any possibility whatsoever of getting any kind of services for the men. Systemic indifference was really surprising. Dr. Aris is directly involved in clinical practice with her students with St. Clair County Health Provider and is very familiar, but even she was a little surprised by some of the responses we got. Young men's health is not a priority. That wasn't a particular surprise. We knew that. It's one of the reasons why the disparities are so great in the county. But a provider saying, I don't have anything to do with fathers and we don't even want them back here. And this provider just, you know, the thing for healthcare providers, when all else fails, default to HIPAA. I don't want to provide information. I don't want to provide services. But that was a little shocking because this provider was very emphatic about not being interested at all in serving men, taking care of men's health needs. If men ask about their health, I say, shut up. I'm not taking care of you. Another provider, again, that just, you know, you're going, okay, let's look at the codes here and some ethical issues about your practice. One of the things that we found that we're working on is the places just look like women's places. They're all pink. Even myself, I get tired of reading Red Book and Ladies' Own Journal every time I have to go into a doctor's office. So one of the issues that we're looking at with through some funding we're getting is one of the providers is going to provide a place, and we're going to try and create a male-friendly environment there and see if that works. Pink rooms will be out. Doctors don't speak their language. They don't respect them. As you heard from Justine, there was a disconnect between service providers and the adolescents that are needing services. We see this translated over into healthcare systems, especially for minority men. Don't use the same terms, not talking about the same issues. A lot of the minority men in St. Clair County, their educational level is low. So we have problems. Big communication prowess. And last but not least, there's no customer service geared to men. No mail information, flyers, literature of any kind really to assist the men in addressing their health care needs. Men's interpersonal issues when we talk. Not only talk to the men and the providers, but there's a complex web of behaviors. And yes, ladies, men are more complex than sometimes you think, but there's a complex web of behaviors that include lack of knowledge and One of the things that really popped out is competing priorities of men. The young fathers, especially that we talked to, providing for their families was much more important, and health care for their families, which was much more important than health care for themselves. So they were very emphatic about trying to ensure that moms and the children had good health care services. But when it came to them, they were way down on the list of priorities. Smoking. I smoke too much, 2-3 packs a day. Yes, I know it's a problem. Yes, I know I should do better about it. But one of the things that we think continues to reinforce this behavior is probably, of course, the stress, life stressors that they're going through. I get short of breath. I took a breathing test, was supposed to go back, but I've been too busy. Once again, lower income men in this category, a lot of times trying to work two jobs to support their families. And of course, as many of you know, the pay scale today is terribly skewed. And this particular population just cannot make enough money quite frequently to get their needs met. I don't do salads, maybe fruit, give me chips. Once again, it's quicker and easier to go in and get one of those double Big Macs, or what was the Hardee's sandwich that was just the killer that they came back that had 8 gazillion fat grams on it, and give me some chips. Just not good health behaviors, and reinforced by one of the young men's response, I eat the cheap menu at McDonald's. Once again, a combination of easy access, quick access to food, not costly, and so on. I drink every chance I get, maybe 6-pack or 10 beers a day. I like hard liquor and mixed drinks. I just hope I make it home. It gets to me when people say I look pregnant, but I say I've got to live for myself. And this gentleman was a big boy, but once again was not interested in, was very concerned about his children's health, was very concerned about mom's health, but did not even seem to be vaguely interested in seriously addressing an issue that he was well aware of the fact that was going to be problematic down the road for a positive health for himself. The young man gave stock answers: I should stop smoking, exercise more, and eat better. However, none of the men we interviewed mentioned violence or risky sexual behaviors. And as you saw by the earlier statistics of over 300% with HIV/AIDS, STDs in St. Clair County, not only is it off the charts, but rather than going down, it is on the rise. Part of the problem we have in that county is, and this wasn't part of our research, but we just heard the other day at another little leadership conference that Dr. Harris was at, one of the nurse practitioners talked about tripping over boxes of condoms in their particular agency, because the ideological and value base of that particular agency is abstinence only. So even though they have the commodities to pass out, the information to pass out, they choose to take a different approach, which we know is a not effective way to address risky sexual behavior at this point in time, especially among young folks. Most providers and administrators felt that the health issues were the same for men and women overall. Obviously, pregnancy makes a difference. But in that particular county, HIV/AIDS, STDs, usual issues of substance abuse, alcohol, and risk-taking behaviors. So they didn't find too many differences as far as the administrators were concerned between men and women's issues. However, a number of providers, administrators, as opposed to the men we interviewed that didn't talk about violent behavior, and again, remember, over 400% as far as murders and stuff, emphasized violent behaviors among the men resulting in injury, as well as in St. Clair County, very high rates of depression and suicide among the young men, which is a little unusual because, as a general rule, I don't think among African American men we see as high rates of suicide as we do among Caucasian men. Socialization drives indifference in our health care system in St. Clair County. Once again, harking back to the refusal basically to pass out condoms, which they have. It impacts the policy priorities in their county. It's a very conservative county. Societal norms are established that are detrimental to the young men's health, and also it fosters detrimental behavioral patterns in the young men. It's part of the reason that we have more violent behavior is the lack of access to good quality jobs, which will come up in a minute. And consequently, they engage in criminal activities in order to make ends meet. The conclusions and recommendations, unfortunately, is we found no clear consensus on how to address the men's health issues among the health care providers in our county. That's one of the primary areas of focus where we can get some kind of more standardized approach to addressing these disparities in St. Clair County. We need greater collaboration among the healthcare providers. The CBPRN that we've coupled together is the first time the three major healthcare providers in the county have ever sat around the table for any length of time whatsoever and collectively worked on issues. They've always been in a posture of competing for resources, so we have a fragmentation of resources and efforts, sometimes obviously overlapping. So we really are focusing on trying to get these healthcare providers collaborate on issues, and currently we're doing some prostate cancer screenings, of which they are. Increase available resources and access to care throughout the county. More available resources to the men. We're engaged in several grant applications. We already got a couple small grants. And education, education, education. Not just for the minority men, but for the service providers. Far too frequently, the professionals don't think that they need to be further educated about the issues because they are supposedly the experts about what's going on. But we need education for them as well, for the men, and for our policymakers. So, last but not least, we really like to have greater emphasis on development of positive behaviors and preventions among men. One of the other projects we're working on is called Healthy Fathers, Healthy Families, and which is also a project Dr. Harris and I are working on together. And we're hoping that by getting better health behaviors amongst the fathers through exercise and better eating, that will translate into good role modeling for the children and the rest of the families, and we'll have to see. That's going to be a pretty long-term project. So last but not least, two of the main issues that came up from the men is issues of housing and employment. Once again, we find if you can't have a job that provides you adequate resources to get your needs met, and a lot of these men are working at jobs where you're barely able to take care of your basic needs, better employment is a primary need in the county, as well as proper housing for the young men. So the next step is continuing on with the research we've started. We're right now currently engaged in three phases of it, in addressing health disparities among minority men across age levels. We're doing the prostate cancer screening research right now, which is a pilot program funded through the state. And it's coupled with American Cancer Society grant for a larger program. We are engaged in the Healthy Fathers, Healthy Families research that we are doing that hopefully we can engage fathers. We're coupled with the YMCA, with the local farmers market for better food, and going to do things for the men through that. And then last but not least, we're also looking at how this community-based participatory research network of people from the university, people from the healthcare service agencies in the communities, we have some lay people on the panel as well, and other community leaders, can see if we can get people to focus together as a single entity, clearly focused on addressing the issue of health disparities among minority men in St. Clair County.
Thank you, and your partner, Dr. Ayers, on bringing voice to these really important and critical issues. For population populations who often aren't thought about and most definitely aren't, as we learned, not heard. So since we do have some time, why don't we go ahead and do questions now? We have about 10 minutes. So any questions you have for Dr. Boyd, Dr. Lewis?
Sure.
Similar
questions. So one of my questions to you is, there's a huge attitudinal thing going on here, from the provider side, but also from the medical community, and the connotations around things that are female. But I was just wondering, in your recommendations, you didn't really mention any of that. So how do we get men to utilize, even if the system is friendly to them? How do we get them to actually come in the door and keep coming in the door? And I'm wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, I'll go first and then let Dr. Harris add to it. One of the problems is, of course, machismo attitude of men. Have to play through the pain. You're a sissy if you say you're hurt. And we're sure that that's part of the reason why they continue to focus on their children's health and their mom's health is protecting them. That is part of the educational process to try and get men to understand that in the long haul, better health for them means that they can be better provider for their families. And to get over this machismo attitude that you have to play through the pain. I mean, that's part of the socialization process that men go through. A good case in point is a 62-year-old African-American male that was my colleague. As I was getting off the plane here, I received a phone call. Dropped dead. Heavy smoker. 62. I mean, that is really, really young. Wasn't taking care of his health. Knew he was engaged in negative health care behaviors. But I don't know. You're talking about a process of the men have been socialized to be macho for so long that we've committed at least 8 years to these folks, working with these folks to try and get over that conflict between communities thinking researchers just come in and then do their program and leave. So we promised them that we will stay with this issue for a long time, but it's going to take that long. Rita?
A couple of different things. One from the attitudinal side of socialization, which is really very interesting. I have a clinical practice here in St. Clair County, and I have some of my students that are working with neighborhood community organization with the after school program for the 5th and first 8 weeks of the semester. And two girls that did a program for young girls, young ladies 10 through age 12, about taking care of their health. And the program was enormously successful. So I thought, well, good. Second 8 weeks, let's do something for the boys. Which is a really compelling job I had to do to the school and the community organization to do some after-school programming for boys around health. They looked at me and said, boys and health, what would you talk about? What would you think? Why do you want to do that? And so I felt like I had to do a real fast sign in to get them to commit to it. And furthermore, one of the issues that's in the news all the time about athletes and steroid use is that, for example, we can talk about this, we can talk about steroid use, and the principal said, absolutely not. I mean, we're not going to talk about steroid use in athletes because after all, talking about it, you want to get them to. We're just going to move on because we can talk about lots of other health issues, but I was horrified. I just couldn't believe it. Secondly, is the policy issue, and I think the one John with the Women Health Administrators comment about health educating policymakers, we just speculated, why is it that programs for men's health it really isn't on the radar screen now? It's just so apt with the title that policymakers just think, publicly attractive to have programs for men's health. Half of the population is experiencing such disparity in longevity and health outcomes are not really
one of the things we're doing real quickly, and then a couple, is that we're trying to backdoor it with the men's prostate cancer. We're trying to get their partners to insist that they come in. So we found that a lot of the men right now that are coming in, that's about 70%+ of them are married. So we're going under the assumption that their wives are insisting that they go get checked up. Now, part of the problem with that is the number of men that are divorced or not partnered. But it's an issue, and that, once again, that kind of socialization takes years. I mean, that's not something that's going to change in a year or two.
I have a question. One of the things that I've been thinking about, in addition to men's health disparities, is also underserved population disparities. I think they all kind of go together. But what are the chances that we could look at PEO in terms of who we're hiring? Because one of the things that I see is if people go to the Peace Corps, they want to help the most underserved populations on planet Earth. Why can't we use the same tools in terms of how we hire people, because it seems like we're hiring people who really don't care in the first place, in terms of what's being said and the statements being made. Are there any ways that we could look at EEO in terms of the hiring process, in terms of whether or not people care about the population that they're going to be interacting with as they do when they go to the Peace Corps? I mean, I can't imagine someone hurting somebody who's in extreme poverty or saying the same statements about people in other countries who are in really dire straits. Why can't we use that same process in terms of who we put in place to serve people?
Well, a couple things. Number one, as far as Hispanic population, even though people in our area think our Hispanic population is really exploding, it's less than 2%. So having lived in Los Angeles and in Colorado, I just kind of chuckle. So in our particular area, it's pretty much Caucasian, Central European, and African Americans. Number two, so it's pretty much, that's black, white population. Number two, actually among the service providers, the oldest healthcare provider in the area, which is in East St. Louis, is almost all African American. And part of the problem there is it's all African American there, and then up on the Bluffs, it's almost all Caucasian. And so we're having a disconnect in services depending on what area you're in. I think you have a very good point. I think some integration of both of those service providers to get different perspectives would be very helpful. But actually, Eastside Health District gets some substantial monies, but we're just not having much success in successfully addressing the issues that abound. And part of that's just trying to get a more integrated process across the county to get men to come in.
And I don't know. It's not really so much about race. It's about people who care. Because I believe Caucasians can take care of a population that's of a different race simply because they care and there's compassion. And a person of color may be totally rejected simply because they don't care. And that can be sensed as well. So I think it's more about compassion and caring about the people that they serve as opposed to just wanting a job and doing what you were trained to do.
Well, then that's different than I thought you said EEO.
I went there. I mean, hiring people who actually care.
Well, you like to think health.
I mean, not so much EEO, but maybe HR.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'd like to think, although from some of the statements you can see, there were some very high levels of insensitivity to segments of the population. I mean, men in general, the fact of the matter is that you like to think, because healthcare providers and social service agencies aren't exactly the highest paid people, especially social workers, in the world, that they go into that particular profession because they do care. So the fact, part of the problem is, what do they care about? Our services in that county for women are excellent. So they really care. But they care here, not across the board. So I know you have a couple other questions. We have another presenter, so I'd like to take some more questions in a bit. Thank you.